I don't normally have catchy titles. Occasionally I do. Paschal lamb, well, it's an older word. That's not that catchy, but hopefully I'll explain what the word paschal means. Be an unleavened Christian. Now, I think that's a little catchy. Maybe, maybe not. Okay. Several goals to the sermon. One is I'm going to give you a bunch of factoids about Passover, unleavened bread. One, so you can understand the text we're going to go to. And this is going to apply to a whole bunch of things, communion, so forth and so on. So hopefully it'll aid you that way. Another aspect of the sermon, I want you to love the expression, Christ, our Paschal or Passover, Christ, our Paschal Lamb. I want you to love that expression, Christ, our Paschal Lamb. And then finally, as an unleavened Christian, you need to be a truth teller, as we're going to see in the text. So one, a bunch of factoids about unleavened bread, so forth and so on, Passover. Two, love Christ, our Paschal Lamb. And three, be a truth teller as an unleavened Christian. Please turn in your Bibles for our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. So New Testament, 1 Corinthians, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll be reading 6 through 8, a great passage. Your boasting's not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump. And you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Paschal or Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, have us be amazed at the Paschal Lamb. Have us be truth tellers. Pray this in the name of the Paschal Lamb. Amen. Some factoids, some background about the Passover and the event of Passover and unleavened bread and all that kind of stuff. Okay, in your mind, distinguish between the event of Passover, and we read that from the first half of chapter 12. Okay, that's one day. They're to roast a lamb, to take a lamb, kill the lamb, roast the lamb, but they're to only eat unleavened bread. Why unleavened bread? Because leavened bread, as we'll explain a little later, takes longer to bake. So the idea was you got to leave quickly. We're leaving tonight. So that's the original event. So they take the lamb, they take the blood. When they kill the lamb, they take the blood. They put it on the doorposts. And God passes over, does not hurt them, but hurts the others. So they're protected by the blood of the lamb. They're to eat unleavened bread because that's a symbol of we got to leave quickly. And so the event occurs. They do leave. They run away. Then Pharaoh changes his mind. Army goes after them. And then the Red Sea, they get on the other side of the Red Sea. Okay, now on the other side of the Red Sea, they have this ceremony for 40 years of, now it's a week-long ceremony. And at the word level, they call Passover and unleavened bread. Sometimes the Bible calls the whole seven-day ceremony Passover. Sometimes it calls the whole seven-day ceremony unleavened bread. They all go together. So now it's a week-long ceremony. First day, you kill the lamb. And then for 7 days, you only eat unleavened bread. And this unleavened bread, I'll explain that a little later. Okay, then now they get into, they're in the wilderness 40 years. Now they get into Canaan, the promised land. They're there a bunch of years. Finally, the temple is built. Now, once the temple is built, time of Solomon, now the ceremony changes a little bit. Now, the ceremony, instead of doing it at your home, everybody streams to Jerusalem. So now it's a super big festival. There's three times everybody goes to Jerusalem. This is one of the big three. They all come to Jerusalem. Who now kills the lamb? Now the priests kill the lambs. And then you go and you get the lamb from the priest. A lot of times you provide the lamb to the priest. He kills the lamb. Or if you don't have, you've got a money way to do it if you're not, don't have that much money or you don't have a lamb with you. And so now you go to the priest and you get the lamb. And interestingly, in the Bible, it will use the singular, the Passover, even though there's a whole bunch of lambs that are killed, but it's still the Passover lamb. Now, interestingly, in the Bible, the Passover unleavened feast of unleavened bread occurs a whole bunch of times. In Jesus' time, you remember when he's 12 years old and he comes and, as my wife says, as Mary and the family are leaving, they have the "Oh, Kevin" moment. You know the joke, "Oh, Kevin." Some of you getting it. Where's Jesus? Oh, he's teaching in the temple. That's during Passover, for instance. One of the big three, they go there. In the book of John, we find out that Jesus, during his three-year ministry, went, you know it, three times, of which the third time is when he's going to die. So he's in Jerusalem during the Passover / unleavened bread ceremony. And in fact, if you recall in some of the discussion in the Gospels, as that Thursday, he says, "And go prepare the Passover." Meant somebody went and got the lamb, went to the temple, got the lamb, brought it back, made sure there was no unleavened bread in their room. Okay, a few comments about leavened versus unleavened bread. Except for reading, I know nothing about baking bread. Okay, we're just going to get that straight, but I can read. And I asked my wife a bunch of questions. Okay, leavened bread back. Well, I used to be an engineer, biochemical processes, fermentation. What is leavened bread, or what you think of as normal bread? Leaven comes from the word to levitate, rise. You with me here? Okay, rise bread, fat bread, big bread. Okay, so fermentation, there's a process, anaerobic usually, Dennis, where little gas bubbles are given. So you put the fermentation stuff in the bread. Little gas bubbles come out, and that makes the bread rise. And it also, depending on what particular fermentation agent you used, will give a little different taste to the bread. Makes the bread rise. Gas bubbles gives a little taste. Yeast, you may know, is the most normal in the Western world fermentation agents, but there's a whole bunch of things that can be a fermentation agent. Now, in the Bible, we're not exactly sure that there are different types of unleavened bread, meaning get the fermentation out of it. It's unleavened, and unleavened bread you can bake very quickly. Leavened bread, you got to wait for it to rise. And so their unleavened bread, we're not exactly sure how thick it was or thin. Some Jewish documents, this is after the New Testament, said it could be up to a hand's breadth, which would be like 5-6 inches thick of fat bread. Or it could be a wafer, or it could be like what you think of a tortilla, something. We don't know how thick it was. And probably different people were making it different thicknesses all during the time. Have you ever heard of the word and I know some of you haven't, but maybe some of the older people would hear of the word matzah. I got a couple. Matzah. Okay, that's just the Hebrew word in the Bible, unleavened. Implied unleavened bread. Now, if you go to the Harris Teeter or Publix, and it'll have little boxes called matzah bread. There's also matzah balls. That's a different thing. Matzah bread. It's going to be super thin. Okay, that's their one version of it, but don't think that that's the Bible version. It went from thin to probably pretty thick, but it would be what you might think of as flat bread, some people said. Okay, enough of background technicalities. Back to sermon. Okay, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and let's look at the text 6 through 8, and hopefully with that background, you'll better understand it. Okay, verse 6. Okay, now the section in this little section that I read, previously they're discussing a church discipline case, and there's sexual sin involved, and some in the church are not taking this seriously. Hence verse 6. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? He's saying, you're boasting or you're making statements about, oh, we have a guy in the church that does this, and whether they were saying it was a good thing or it didn't matter. They weren't taking the appropriate seriousness about it. It's kind of a church discipline thing. So your boasting's not good. You should do something about it. And then he makes the leaven analogy. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Back to leaven. Another angle to leaven is when you want to make leavened bread, back then, and sometimes now, back then they would take a current leavened bread. Before they'd eat it, they'd save a little piece. And then when they're going to make their next one, since they didn't have yeast that they could just go and off the shelf, they took the leaven from the previous lump. Lump is going to be a key word here. Lump. And then they stuck it into the new batch. And that lump then gave the fermentation and made it all rise. And sometimes, as my wife told me, it's called now a starter. I'm getting a couple yeses here. It's a starter lump. I don't know what you call it. Starter something. Okay. So you put a little leaven in bread, and it affects the whole item. And so he's saying here in verse 6, for church discipline reasons, one reason you do church discipline in these very serious situations is because it can have negative effects and go through the whole church. Now, interestingly, sometimes the Bible uses leaven positively, sometimes it uses negatively, and here it just means it permeates, and here in a negative situation. So then he goes to verse 7. So that's sort of church discipline, but now he's going to start to move to more personal aspects. He's going to move out of the church discipline scenario. Verse 7, cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump. And he's using the analogy back to the ceremony, that in the ceremony, if you recall when I read from Exodus 12, before the Thursday for the beginning of Passover, what you would do is sweep out your whole house as a symbol that there's no leaven, that we're going to be saved by God. Sweep out all the leaven in the house, if there's any that fell on the floor or something to that effect. So he's saying here, cleanse out the old leaven. Like when you were not a Christian, you were like leaven. Get rid of all the sins related to being a non-Christian, that you may be a new lump, or a starter lump, as my wife explains it to me, as you really are unleavened. Relative to the ceremony, you're the Christian. The Christian is the unleavened. Saying, as a believer, you're unleavened. And now the famous line, for what changed you to make you unleavened? Why are you unleavened? For Christ, our Paschal or Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. You didn't make yourself unleavened. You're part of what Christ did. And obviously it's sacrificed in the sense of all those lambs in the Old Testament, but this is obviously Christ, the sacrifice. Christ, the Passover or Paschal Lamb, has been sacrificed. He changed you. Now, therefore, you are part of the unleavened ceremony. You're not the lamb, you're the bread, so to speak. Let me say a few words, some more factoids, about the word Passover or Paschal. In Hebrew, it's Pesach, Aramaic, Pascha, Greek, Pascha, and hence, in the many, many languages, some version of Pascha, something like that. Hence, in English, Paschal. The Paschal in English is just an adjective related to Passover. So the Paschal lamb is just an old way of saying the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb. Now, another interesting factoid here is that sometimes the word Passover in the Bible means the whole seven-day ceremony. Sometimes it means the lamb. And usually the Bible just says the Paschal or the Passover, and then you figure out what it is, and it's obvious. And here it's obviously talking about the lamb. But because the Passover many times meant the whole seven-day festival, the Passover, and Jesus' events, his big events, was Thursday, the day of Passover, and Friday he's killed, but it's still the Passover week, then Saturday's in the grave, Sunday he arises. So we got Thursday to Sunday. That's all within the Passover / unleavened bread festival. So in church history, they wanted to have a feast to celebrate Thursday to Sunday. They called it the Paschal Feast. We don't do that in English. They did it in church history. So therefore, almost every language, except for German and English, almost every language calls what we call Easter, because they were going to have a festival. They had the festival on Sunday of the Passover week. Almost every language, and people here that may know a few other languages, calls Easter Paschal. Just a little. So if you're from another language, that'll make sense to you, related to the Passover lamb. Okay. But look at your Bible. Look at verse 7. I'm a unleavened bread Christian. How am I a Christian? How am I a new lump? Who made me a new lump? That great line, Christ, our Paschal or Passover lamb. Now think of all the associations there. The killing of lambs. A great festival. The killing of Christ. The great day of what we call Easter, the Sunday. Our Passover lamb. He's the killed lamb that saved us. He willingly saved us. Christ was both the priest and the victim. He willingly became the lamb for us. Also notice the word our. Christ, our Passover lamb. Are you proud to say that? Our meaning my and the Christian group. The Christian group and I. Our Passover lamb. Do you love that word our there? Christ, our Passover or Paschal lamb. Let's go to verse 8. Let us therefore, given what Christ did, given us that we're the unleavened bread, let us therefore celebrate the festival. That's a 7-day thing, metaphorically speaking. Let us celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, because we're not supposed to, we're not supposed to get rid of that. We sweep that out of the house. That old leaven, that bad leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened, because we're unleavened Christians, bread of sincerity and truth. So he's playing off the ceremony where you got rid of, for the 1 week, you got rid of all leavened bread. And then he uses the analogy, it's as if your whole life is the festival. The 1 week, it was your whole life. So therefore, since during the literal 1 week, you ate unleavened bread, it's as if your life is unleavened bread. Now, there's 1,000 things he could have said of a definition of a Christian. He happened to choose here sincerity and truth, which are related concepts. Sincerity and truth. So our text today, of all the things you could have said about being an unleavened Christian, sincerity and truth. Truth, sort of spoken to yourself internally. Truth when you speak, truth when you act. Truth about Christ, truth about weights and measures or whatever, truth about other things. And just today, since it has the word sincerity, which is more an internal word, how about yourself? Do you speak truth to yourself? Not what mom thinks, not what your spouse thinks, not what your friends think. But I have sincerity, truth to myself, about loving Christ, our Passover lamb. Just answer that in your head. Am I sincere? Am I unleavened in truth about the Paschal lamb? Our Paschal lamb. For Christ, our Paschal lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, I celebrate my whole life, not with bad leaven, malice and evil, but with good unleavened bread, really good tasting unleavened bread, of sincerity and truth. Another parenthesis. Okay, so what type of bread, what, you look down there, is that leavened or unleavened bread? Okay, it happens to be leavened. We've had, at this church, sometimes we have unleavened bread, if you remember those little wafer things, and we have, not the best, but fair enough, and we have leavened bread. In the, I would say even in the New Testament, they were using leavened bread and unleavened bread. In church history, they were using leavened and unleavened bread at the Lord's Supper. Eventually, it worked out that Roman Catholics used unleavened bread. So if you go to Roman Catholic Church, it'll be a wafer or something to that effect. The Eastern Orthodox used leavened bread. And eventually, they solidified. You can only use, depending which one you went to, leavened or unleavened, the Protestants said, the Bible has logics for both. Both are in the Bible. Looking backwards, it's unleavened bread. And then looking forward, especially to the new heavens and new earth, we'll have really good leavened bread. And so both are appropriate. Both are good to do, even though today our sermon was on unleavened bread. Conclusion. Love the expression Christ, our Paschal lamb. Think of all the analogies and real events that occurred in the Old Testament that God knew was going to be pointing to Christ. Think of Christ knowing all those events. Became our lamb for us. And then Christ, of the many ceremonies he could have set up in the church, set up the Lord's Supper, which is related to the Paschal lamb. There's also baptism. There's also this. There's also that. But it's a major ceremony. The Paschal Lamb, our Paschal Lamb. And also remember that, metaphorically speaking, we're like unleavened bread. Your matzah. If you go to the store. Your matzah, good tasting matzah. And a lot of angles to matzah. But one is you tell yourself the truth and you tell others the truth, especially about Christ. That's part of the context. Telling the truth about Christ and other things, but telling the truth about Christ. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Amen. Let us pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for what you have planned to do, what you have accomplished in Christ, and then applied to us by the Holy Spirit. May we love you even more. May we be truth tellers even more. As Christ died for our sins and Christ changed us. Be with us during, in a special way, during communion. I pray this again in the name of the Paschal Lamb. Amen.